Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
So here we are, it's the holiday season. Everybody's having a nice time, and in some of the downtime between coaching and administration stuff that I do, I decided to start working through my Google Drive folder. You probably have something very similar on your own computer where you collect things, you see things, you save them, you take a course, you download all of the content, so store it in a folder. And so I decided I was going to just work through what I had and beginning right back to my old C license. And when I did the E license when I first came to the US, and I've gone to seminars and webinars over the last couple of years, and I tend to save everything. You just never know when you need it. But looking back over it, as I've done the last couple of hours, last couple of days, I've actually deleted over 2 gigabytes in session plans. And that sounds like a lot. It is a lot. It's a lot of memory for sure. It's a lot of screen saves of Academy Soccer Coach, of using Tactical Pad, and I talk about how much I love that. But then also curriculums from clubs, from organizations, from states, and just things that I've collected along the way. But what I've really learned is everything is situational. So there is some value in holding on to a lot of that stuff, but kind of it's deep in so many folders that I don't even really think that I ever looked at it once again after I downloaded and saved it. So I got rid of the sessions because as I'm working more and more now through looking to try and become a US soccer instructor and leading as I do as a technical director role and for everything that I do here that you're listening to, I realized that it's not about the session plans. It's not about, I mean, I guess I could have put them all into a folder and sold that folder for a couple hundred bucks and there'd be lots of people that would buy it. But what I've never done and what I never really like to do is to have session plans like that. And people say, oh, do you have a good session for this? Or do you have a good session for that? But in reality, if you're following a games-based approach where we're putting players in situational learning and they're being challenged to play the game within the game, so we're trying to work on playing out the back, we create a system and a game setting that is playing out the back to target players, to an end zone, to whatever it is that you're trying to achieve in the game. Therefore, you make your own sessions every single time. I have a 3v2 that I found and it was moving between squares and players are moving all over the place, which is cool. And I remember using it and looking back at it now and I think, well, what did we really achieve from that? We learned that 3 players can keep the ball away from 2 players, but when they've made 5 passes, they have to change square. And why? How does that relate to the game? Why are they doing that? And you may be listening to this and thinking, yeah, I would do that or I like it because of X, Y, and Z, and that's fair enough. But when I'm looking through and now having deleted all of that material, it feels like a big weight has been lifted. And I look back on what I did versus what I do now, and I'm a completely different coach because I don't just look for session plans. I'm not just looking for, I have 5 players in a small group, so how can I do a 3v2 or how can I do a 2v2 plus 1? What does it look like? It's always based on the reality of our game model, of our periodization, and then what the players need based on how games are going and how we're moving forward. So, for example, I'm coaching 2009 boys ODP, and so we're basically working on how to get the best out of the players in the best positions and how the best we can play for when we go to Arizona in a couple weeks. So I'm not looking for these cool session plans for playing out the back or anything like that. And there will be times where I'll need an idea or something that's going to help me out. But that's what Twitter, that's what podcasts are for, that coaching community to ask questions as opposed to saving stacks upon stacks of curriculums and session plans. So while I'm talking about session plans and this kind of array of things that I deleted, I look at things like rondos that are very simple in terms of playing a 3v1 or a 4v1, but no real context to it. And then looking at what kind of warm-up games are and thinking about how I've evolved over time and looking also at, I've just applied for the instructor license for US soccer. Part of it, the application is to explore the play, practice, play. And I kind of did it for a long time without really realizing it, as I listened to a guy on a podcast once say how he used opening scrimmages for players so that they would be vitalized to get there. They want to get on the field. They don't just drag when they get out of the car and meander across the field. And I was also working on a field with 10 other teams training at the same time, and I happened to be in the far corner away from the parking lot. So I wanted my players to get there quick, otherwise it was 10 or 15 minutes of our session gone before I'd even had a full attendance. So knowing that scrimmages would be exciting for the players, I've always followed that anyway, and whenever I've worked with a coach, with a club, any organization, I always encourage them to use scrimmages based on that alone. And working through the play practice play model with US soccer, it's now becoming objective. It's now becoming not just me saying, hey, this is good for the kids, they really like it, they told me they like it, I think it's fun, it's a really good thing for them to do. There is data and evidence that's supporting the use of games in a training environment as something that is going to benefit your players. So when they arrive and they start playing, they're immediately involved. They're more likely to become, they're more likely to stay involved in the game. They're more likely to enjoy themselves. They're there to play soccer. And as I always said, they're there to play soccer, so let's get them playing soccer. But just then, on a personality perspective, now they're engaged. Now they're playing in an environment where they're having fun, where they're being challenged, where they're being given this space to go and play the game. It also reduces the impact of the coach, and not to the point that I'm saying you are not coaching or you're not involved. And I think the biggest issue with this is when we say the game is the teacher. So people often think that, oh, just let them play the game and they'll figure it out. And that's not what this is about at all. But this introduction for players to be able to play and to make their own decisions and to take control of their environment means that you as a coach can observe and can engage with your players in another way, as opposed to just being that coaching role. And I know it when I work with my ODP players now. I get onto the field and they all just look at me. They're looking at me and waiting. These are phenomenal players that are playing in all sorts of programs across Northern California. And they're looking at me waiting to be told what to do. Coach, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? So if we're setting up a play environment for them to come and just get ready, now they're taking control. They can play a 4v1 if they want in a game. They can play a 5v5. I may control things sometimes by setting up the field, or I'll give them the chance to set the field too. But objectively, this is an environment that's going to benefit our players. And looking into the opportunity for these players to now figure some things out. There's some conflict resolution. If we look at the stages of team development, players are able to start figuring things out for themselves. And I think it's really, really important to share that, again, it's objective, it's not subjective. It's not just me saying, I think this is really good for your players, and then you say, I don't think so, or I don't know if it's very good. It then evolves into the practice part. The evidence is now showing, or beginning to show, that a non-linear practice is going to benefit your players more. So what does that mean? So in terms of it, that if we think that our team needs to improve in passing, the classic approach would be to take passing from the game, set our players up in some sort of passing pattern, some sort of connection, maybe a shadow game, maybe even just passing back and forth to teach the quote-unquote correct technique. But that does not translate to the players being able to play the game any better or to execute that skill any better. What the data is beginning to show, that you can play games that are going to require passing, but it's not a direct teaching of passing. And so I hear your brain cogs turning and going to, okay, we could play a 3v3 and they can score after they get five passes. But now that's not very realistic either. So perhaps the reward is, if with a connected pass and you score first time, because we see over 70% of goals being scored with one touch, perhaps the game is, if you score on a first time shot, it's worth two, and any other goals are worth one. But what we're really saying there is, not only is the first touch finish relative to the game and also helping our players to get into positions to score, we're relying on a killer pass to set a player up. So we're rewarding that key pass. And then we begin to work with the players throughout the training session. So a non-linear practice is, we're not just working on passing. Passing is part of the success of the game that's required. And it's really beginning to show that players are learning more from the game. Now, it requires skill set of a coach. Your skill set is that you're not controlling the practice and breaking things down so linear, but you're actually creating an environment for them to go and try these things out. In our game at the weekend, we really struggle to build out of the back because the quality of passing. So therefore, we would typically break it down and go isolate passing or find a pattern of play where we can build the ball out. But it's really lacking that game environment. So now I'm going to create a building out of the back session. Go back to all the things I just deleted. I look at my players. I know how many I have, and I build it out based on how we want to play. And then I go forward from there where I say, this is what our playing out the back is, what the game is going to be. And then we build on the importance of the passes and the hips. And there's so much more than it just being the pass. There's all sorts of things like pressure that comes from the opponent. So if our opponent is pressuring us hard on the weekend, as most teams do now when you're trying to play out the back, we will set our team up in training to press hard and then begin to become familiar with the game situation. Then when we wrap up our training session, we always do play. Unfortunately, a lot of the time it's a reward. So we would say, hey, you guys have been good today. You guys worked hard. Subjectively, I believe you worked hard or you did well because I think that I know everything. So therefore, you guys deserve a scrimmage. You deserve some sort of play. But what's really important about this play, practice, play is that the final portion of play for the end of the session is based on the maximum size of your roster. So if you're playing U11, U12, the most you can have is 16 players on your roster. So they're going to play, the final play session is set up for 8v8. So you're going to play the game. You're going to have goalkeepers. You're going to make it look as much like the game as possible within your squad. So you fill a squad, you fill out, and everybody's coming to practice. Now, of course, does everybody come to practice every time? No, but maybe your session isn't very good. Maybe they've got other things that they'd rather do. Sometimes, of course, players get injured. They're not very well. They're going to stay away. They're on family vacation. But if we're trying to get players to play and we're competing with outside activities, after school things, things like that, then maybe the weather's not very good. So it's very easy for a player to, or a parent to say, no, you know what? We're not going to go to training tonight. Now suddenly you've got 12 players or 13 players. Now we use the final play in a structured way that you're not just now let them scrimmage as a reward and sit back and talk to other parents or pack up your cones or any of that sort of stuff. You're actually engaged in what they were doing during the first play and the second practice part of the session, and you're connecting the dots. So there's lots and lots of gameplay for your players to be prepared for the weekend. And so this started with just my overall awe at deleting all of these files from my computer and then tying in what I've been doing with play, practice, play and the application that I have in terms of becoming an instructor. And I think it's really important to share. So I'd love to know what you think. I'd love to know if you are beginning to have some of those similar realizations that it's not necessarily about the session plan. If you go and take a coaching license, everybody sits around and moves salt and pepper and empty beer glasses and does all of this stuff. But if you're actually looking at the needs of your players, the sessions technically write themselves, but the real skill and the real tool and craft of coaching is actually that observation and engaging with your players in the right way for them to benefit, for them to develop based on your game model, based on your periodization.